141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on World Cup draw night. The ceremony is underway, and within the next hour or so, Scotland will find out who they'll play at the first men's World Cup since 1998. On the club front, Wilfried Nancy speaks for the first time as the new Celtic manager. We'll hear what he had to say. And a big weekend coming up as Rangers look to get back to winning ways, away to Kilmarnock on Saturday evening. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Look at me. Last night, I was having dinner with the Prime Minister, and now you two. From Sir Keir Starmer to Scott Allen and Gordon Duncan. However, I'll get on with it, and I'll say, Ange Postecoglou lost to Hearts on his first game as Celtic manager. So, if it happens to Wilfried Nancy, then it's not the end of the world, or is it?
Much wine did you have at the Cash for Kids Christmas lunch?
I had no red wine at all.
That's not what I heard.
I stuck to the white.
I was going to say. Yes, if anyone is wondering, if you're watching the live stream, if you're into that sort of thing, we haven't just randomly decided to dress up for World Cup draw evening as much as we perhaps should have done that. We've all come from the Cash for Kids Christmas lunch. Yep. £371,000 raised for disadvantaged children in our local communities. An outstanding effort, really, really good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The Cash for Kids venture is the station's finest hour every year, and it was sensational to be there today. It's a shame, it's a scandal that we have to work this hard to feed our own children, but the work that Cash for Kids do, all the helpers, Arnold Clark, everything I'm associated with it, I'm sure you'd find today, Scott, that it's moving.
It really is, especially when you've seen the video that was played on the screen there. I think when you have children, it always makes you think twice, and you think about some of the lives we had ourselves. So for me, it was a fantastic day. The auction was incredible. Some of the money that was raised at that, look no further than George Bowie comes to your house.
I think somebody paid 28 grand for George Bowie to give them a private DJ set. So listen, if you've got it and you want to spend it in Cash for Kids, it is truly wonderful. But seriously, how have we managed to gloss over this?
Yeah.
You had dinner with the Prime Minister last night.
I was sitting beside Sir Keir, yeah.
Finally, you found somebody less popular than you.
Yeah. But he was a very nice man. I was doing the auction, gala dinner, and I was the auctioneer. And
were you properly, you know, chewing the fat with the Prime Minister?
Yeah, we
like small talking.
We spoke football a lot, and
talk about Kieran Tierney.
He never shut up about Kieran Tierney
because he's an Arsenal man, isn't he?
Oh, through and through.
Do you know what's really funny? When I was driving in, I was thinking, Super Scoreboard, it can be quite a kind of fraught environment, quite divided. What the show really needs is a bit of politics to bring everybody together. Wow. That will be right. We'll move on from that. 01419511025. Lauryn Hill or somebody appears to be on the stage. Donald Trump was up there getting what I can only assume is a entirely made up award a minute or two ago as well. They seem to have drawn the host nations out.
Yep.
And that's it, and then they've stopped. But between now and 8 o'clock, this is going to be an incredible night. Genuinely a sort of history making night. We feel we're privileged to be a part of it. It's aligned perfectly for us. Just think how many episodes of Clyde One Super Scoreboard have passed since a men's World Cup draw. It is an incredible feeling to have this happening tonight and be able to put that across. So until then, do give us a call right now. 01419511025. Get your dream draw, your nightmare draw, everything in between suggested to us. And then of course, as soon as those balls come out at the World Cup draw, I mean, we'll get the reaction. You could be the first on to react to Scotland's World Cup draw. So really looking forward to this tonight. And it's not like there's a shortage of domestic talking points if you'd rather that as well. Celtic fans, the question is quite simple. What have you made of Wilfried Nancy? He says that's how you say it. Wilfried Nancy's first press conference. You've now listened to him. You've thought about him coming in. You've done your research. You've heard from the man. What did you make of it? Let us know right now. Rangers fans, how confident are you of getting back to winning ways this weekend away at Kilmarnock? Loads to get through. Give us a call.
I mean, his inaugural game as Celtic manager simply could not be any more intriguing. The joint leaders of the Premiership table, Celtic and Hearts, 60,000 crowd, Celtic Park, huge television audience, and it's the first match after Martin O'Neill has taken his leave of the club, and what a job he has done to take away entirely the 8-point gap that existed between Hearts and Celtic. So the question tomorrow or on Sunday will be, have Hearts indeed crashed? Has the bottle gone? And what will Wilfred Nancy make of a Celtic side who I think went to the well under Martin O'Neill time and time again while greatly reduced in strength because the treatment room is full of players who would be in the team, and they've also gone to the well and got away with it on a few occasions. I'm thinking Paisley, I'm thinking Easter Road last Sunday, I'm thinking the Dundee game midweek. One goal is often enough to get Celtic through, but they have not reached a high performance level. So all things considered, it's a compelling fixture on Sunday.
I think for me, we're talking about high performance levels. I think the players that we speak about, Maeda, Hatate, Callum McGregor since Martin O'Neill has come in, I think they're performing better. I think when you look at the team as a whole and you're looking for that consistency, it's very difficult when week in, week out, you are getting injuries. So I do think that obviously has a factor. But for me, your big players are now starting to perform at the right time. They've backed it up by winning the games. I felt Celtic were deserving of the win at Easter Road last week. If I'm honest with you, and Sunday poses a different sort of question because you now get a new manager. But what do players want to do? They want to impress their new manager. So it'll be a very intriguing game. Derek McInnes as well has to try and get a bit of confidence back into his Hearts side, obviously losing such a late goal against the Kilmarnock side, a game where there's no doubt they would have expected to have came away with all 3 points, and they didn't. So they now have to get themselves up for a big game against Celtic.
And speaking of Kilmarnock, what a test they provide Rangers with tomorrow at 8 o'clock, because Danny Rule, you know, the performance levels there have not been great, and they perhaps got away with one at Tannadice, belated penalty to make it 2-2. The performance against Falkirk the previous Sunday, lambasted by their own supporters, Danny Rule could do with a bit of a show at Rugby Park.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Loads to get through on the domestic front, but seriously, Hugh Keevans, you have seen pretty much it all and then some in Scottish football. Don't get me wrong, this draw is rubbish. Whatever's happening is rubbish. Yeah. But in a more general sense, how good is this? How good is this to have your Friday night determined by which team Scotland will play at the World Cup next summer?
Yeah. You know, the programme we put on here when Scotland qualified by beating Denmark at Hampden will live with me forever. And the whole aspect of Scotland getting to the World Cup finals for the first time in 28 years, when I left St Etienne after Scotland lost 3-0 to Morocco in 1998, I took it for granted I would be in Japan 4 years later with Scotland. I was there. Didn't see Scotland again for 28 years, so enjoy.
Cannot wait. I think they're about to draw the remainder of the balls. I would not make promises, though, that I can't keep, because this is tedious. But anyway, let's bring in Chris, who's in Livingston. Chris, how good is this? What are you thinking? What are you hoping for?
I'm really excited about it. Hoping that we get Mexico. Really hoping we get Mexico.
Why? Any real reason, just as a host nation? Or?
I know my wife is Mexican, so...
Nice.
And my daughter, she's obviously half Scottish, half Mexican. She's only 18 months, so it'd be amazing to
go. Brilliant. That's amazing. Did you meet your wife over there? Did she meet you over here?
No, we actually met on Instagram during COVID.
Wow.
I know.
What a bit of romance. Hugh Keevans is baffled by that. You couldn't do that in his day.
How's that possible?
He used to have to go to the dance halls, Hugh.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew many Mexicans in the dance halls.
You don't know about the Lacarno.
I know my history of the city.
Yeah.
Instagram, Mexico, COVID, none of those things appealing to you.
I'm trying to imagine the Tartan Army in Guadalajara. It'd be great.
That's amazing, Chris. That's a brilliant story. So you've got a real vested interest there. That'd be amazing for your family if it was Mexico, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was just living there. Lived there for a year, just there. We just got back a couple of months ago, and we stayed at Guadalajara, like a place called Puerto Vallarta, and then we stayed in Mexico City, where she's from. So I'm hoping like it'd be amazing. The first game would be Mexico City in Scotland, or Mexico City.
How's your Spanish?
It's not very good.
Do you know what's funny, right? If I'm being honest, I'm kind of done with playing the host nation. Yeah. Germany put me off for life, and we did it, you know, obviously, well, not the host nation, but played the opening game at France 98 against the reigning champions. But Chris has now sort of sold me on it. I hope it happens for Chris and his wife and his daughter. There we go. I'm that easily convinced.
Well, the grandson of mine that you know, Archie, he's desperate for Mexico.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the one that he wants. He wants the adventure of it all, not just, you know, any American city. You can go there on a package tour holiday, but he wants Guadalajara.
I'm sorry, I'm trying so hard not to be cynical, because I'm so excited about this. I think everybody knows how I feel about the Scotland national team in the World Cup. But Rio Ferdinand is on the screen acting as if he's taking video calls from various famous people. And what is this?
I've just seen Kevin Hart about 5 minutes ago.
But he's at least on the stage, Kevin Hart. This Rio Ferdinand sketch, please just draw the balls.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Is that not Penelope Cruz?
No.
Is it not?
Who is it?
I can't see the telly.
It's a bad
day
when you don't know. I expect me not to know.
No, it's not. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, you get my point. What is this? Why? Anyway, I'm lost for words on just how bizarre this all is. Just draw the balls, for goodness sake.
It's American.
Chris, so Mexico would be our pot one team, if you got your wish, because they are in pot one, being a host nation. Any other thoughts thereafter, what you'd like to make up the rest of that group?
No, I really don't mind. I'm actually pretty confident for Scotland for once. I think if we really like just get a grip and go for teams, well, we can do it. We shouldn't be scared of anyone after what we've achieved. So
yeah, I also think, you know, we got carried away a bit, I think, during the last Euros, and thought, well, I play in the host nation in Germany, and they're not what they used to be. And oh my goodness, yeah. let's leave that be. Chris, do you think all three host nations, I'm going to say this without it coming back to bite me, provide an opportunity? Like, clearly they're in pot one because they're host nations, and they're not as strong as some of the other teams in there, are they, when you look at Argentina or Spain or France or even England?
No, I'd be fine with getting Canada if we didn't get Mexico, because we could definitely do them. So
how does a woman from Guadalajara or whatever it is in Mexico enjoy Livingston?
She's from Mexico City.
And is Livingston a culture shock?
No, well, she likes it here, but she just finds it extremely quiet.
I bet she does. How many people are in Mexico City?
Over 9 million.
That's incredible.
It's a beautiful place. People are scared of it because of what we get told to the media and stuff, but see, honestly, like, I lived there. It's not like what we get told. It's beautiful, and the people are beautiful. So, and the food's amazing. There's always music on, so it'd be amazing if Scotland got there.
And did her eyes light up when you said, "And this is the designer outlet"?
Well, she likes that, but she really doesn't care about football. She doesn't understand why I'm going mental and so excited about it. Huh. She thinks it's just a small thing that's happening.
This is the designer outlet. Over here, we've got the skate park. That's where Marvin Bartley makes his trade on a Saturday afternoon.
It's a good place. It's an upgrade.
I'm being unfair, but I mean, Mexico City to Livingston.
And then David Martindale comes in, and Chris's wife thinks that he's speaking in Mexican.
We're still not underway, by the way, just in case you've not missed anything. Rio Ferdinand, for some unknown reason, is now on the stage as well.
With
Kevin Hart. He's acting again.
Oh no!
There's a sketch with Rio Ferdinand and school children. See, right, this is getting close to ruining the World Cup for me.
I'm just wondering if we'll know Scotland's opponents by the time we go off air at 8 o'clock.
Surely.
Remember, people said the draw's at 5.
Yeah.
Someone said to me earlier, "You should have started the show at 5," and I said, "No. The draw may technically start at 5, but we're in absolutely no danger." Right. So Chris wanted Mexico. Obviously, for family reasons, wouldn't have minded Canada. How do you two feel about, let's keep it to pot one? Do you want the host nation for the glamour and the fact that, if we're being honest, they're amongst the weakest pot one teams? Or do you think pot one, go for it, give us Lionel Messi, give us, what do you want
I
from pot
Messi.
One?
I want Argentina, yeah. Messi's last World Cup.
Mm. Yeah, why not? The glamour of it all. Why wait 28 years and worry about who you're going to play?
John McGinn getting Messi's last ever World Cup jersey when we beat them. Oh, I can. I'd love the sound.
Messi going for John McGinn's jersey.
Saudi Arabia beat them last World Cup, first game.
Yeah, they then went on to win it, right enough. Yes. So, yeah, could we be the Saudi Arabia in that equation? Maybe. Well, Chris, thank you. I loved your story. Pass on our regards to the family.
Thank you much. Have a good night.
Good man. There was Chris in Livingston. Used to live in Mexico City. Wife's Mexican. Wants Mexico.
He's from Cumbernauld.
From Cumbernauld, exactly. Aye, brilliant. That's what tonight's all about. Just something a wee bit different. We're now getting an explainer on the draw, which feels like it should have been done at the start.
Yeah.
A couple of hours ago, I don't know. So yes, again, just outlining the fact that the home nations are already drawn out, essentially, because we know where they're going to be. They've been drawn for some reason, and now we're catching up with the rest. Of course, there are playoff winners still to be added as well, so there is a potential that we don't know all their opponents tonight. Basically, you'll get the first two for sure, and then that fourth one might come from one of the playoff winners. But it would be nice if it was all completed, wouldn't it?
I'm just wondering if the people of Des Moines, Iowa, or Columbus, Ohio, are looking at Rio Ferdinand and saying, "Who's he?"
It is utterly bizarre, and I kind of knew it would be because all draws are. Did the Champions League draw this year not have like a magician or something? They all are. This just seems.
I can't say I've watched many of the actual draws over Champions League qualification either.
Yeah.
You just wait until they come out and then you check the teams.
It's not something I'd like try to do in my spare time, but if you've got a little vested, I've got a major vested interest tonight, and the longer this goes on, the worse it is. But yeah, we're going to find out hopefully soon. So until then, though, the good thing is we've got the longer we've got to wait, the longer you've got to tell us what your wish list looks like. There's James A sent in, who wants Canada, Australia, Scotland, Curaçao. So James A's going for the easy route,
the soft touches.
What you want, Scott? What about, so you after a mix then? If you want Argentina from pot one, tell me you want some weaker teams to give us a fighting chance.
Yeah, you want obviously, you'd love to see a win at a World Cup finals.
That would be nice,
of course. But for me, it was more Argentina. Lionel Messi, grew up loving him as a footballer. I just like that tie for Scotland fans. I think if you were going over there, because it would cost some people a lot of money to go and see these games, you would like them to see at the same time one of the world's best ever football players.
Curaçao would be good too, because of all the, you know, first time ever in it, pot four. I mean, I know we can have our moments, and I know we shouldn't bum ourselves up. You'd like to think you've got a good chance of winning that game, but managed by Dick Advocaat, so there's a wee story in there as well.
However, I remember watching television on the night. The score was Scotland 1, Iran 1.
I know, but surely.
I can still remember this goal scorer of our goal, Iskandarian, the player from Iran who scored for Scotland that night, and we were awful.
Okay, so, well, on that positive, cheery note, we've got the World Cup draw to look forward to. The best thing for us, probably, we'll take a break, and then it gives us a bit longer to get this draw underway. But 01419511025, give us all your thoughts, and if you'd rather talk club football, there's loads happening there. Wilfried Nancy speaking for the first time today as the Celtic manager. What did you make of him? What have your first impressions been, Celtic fans? We'll speak to you next.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You've missed the entire draw. Only kidding. We've not even started yet. Again, for goodness sake. We're now getting some sort of World Cup VT running through the teams. Loosely suggests we're on the right track, Hugh.
Well, maybe. I'm still not sure. I think we might be breaking the news at 2 o'clock on Super Scoreboard tomorrow afternoon.
The good thing is, don't watch the draw, really. Just watch us. Because Hugh's got his shirt and tie on. Listen, he was out with the Prime Minister last night, no less. He's been at the Cash for Kids lunch. He's been on the white wine.
Yep.
So watch us watching the draw. Give us your call. Let us know your reaction to it. Aldo is on the line. How are you, Aldo?
I know, so bad. So, to change the menu, I've got a wee bit of... a mimic of Donald Trump.
Oh, my word. Okay. I'm going to regret this, isn't I?
He said that they come on to the show because he's obviously the star of the whole World Cup now. I have stopped so many wars. And then he says, I have stopped so many wars that haven't even happened.
I feel like the impression needs a bit of work, Aldo.
Yeah.
Aye. My roots are a wee bit dry. I was in the job. So I've had a few, and I think called Oh, what the fuck was that called?
Okay, let's let Aldo and Inverary go. Who I should have seen that coming, really. For anyone who's watching in the live stream, I would like to apologise for the offensive language made by the caller. And if you're listening on the radio, hopefully you never heard it. See, the magic of radio. Fingers crossed. You're looking at me. Have I never told you how this all works before?
Is that the dump button?
Oh, Aldo. I should have known. We listen for the producer there. See if a guy says he wants to come on and give an impression of Donald Trump. It's probably...
Have a think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's probably going to go south quite quickly. Yeah. His impression was rubbish as well.
Yep. He didn't commit to it, did he?
To be fair, you owned up to your own indiscretion last week when you invited someone to tell you about...
Ah, but we don't repeat that. I mean, we've moved over that. Tom Brady... is drawing balls.
Yes.
Oh, that's good news. Okay, let's see what we're going here. Right, so Mexico are in Group A, Canada Group B, and the USA Group D.
Brazil.
So now we're going through the rest of the pot one team. So I'm not going to give you blow by blow account on this, because again, this doesn't really mean much to you. What we're doing is working through the pot one teams: Spain, Argentina, France, England, Brazil, Portugal, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, and seeing which group they will be in. So it doesn't really mean loads for Scotland. At this point, as an example, there is that Brazil. Brazil have been put in Group C, so I don't think that means loads to you. See, apart from the host nations, which we've spoken about, it feels silly to use the word, but are there any other weaker Pot 1 teams that you wouldn't mind?
Belgium.
I think Belgium now are not now not what they were. And
we played Portugal, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Played them at Hampden, but you still look at the players. You'd
have the whole final Ronaldo World Cup sideshow there as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and obviously Ireland. Played them not long ago.
Did well.
Done really well. Yeah. So I think Portugal and Belgium, Germany, I think will be strong. The Netherlands, haven't seen a lot of them.
The dominant feature of our World Cup history is unpredictability. We score the goal of the tournament from Archie Gemmell and get bounced at the same time. And on it goes. So if someone comes up and you think, oh, that'll be good, just think back to Archie Gemmell's goal or European Championships.
Not many can think back to that, though. That's the thing.
Well, I can. I can remember the 1958 World Cup.
I should do my research here. Was the World Cup draw like this for France? Was it anything like this? Any sort of draw? I mean, obviously they had to draw the teams, but I assume not ceremonial like this, or was it?
Well, I was there. It was in the Louvre.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, very Parisian and sophisticated, but quick. Unlike this, which is interminable.
He went to the last World Cup draw in the Louvre in Paris. He had dinner with Keir Starmer last night, and he has to sit in between you and me on a Friday night.
A sophisticated old dodderer.
And tomorrow you'll spend your afternoon with Gordon DL, who, let me tell you, was enjoying the Cash for Kids lunch
before I left,
when Scott and I left.
He was injured as well. He was moaning about his back.
And his feet.
He was moaning.
And his heels.
His heels. And he was enjoying... various bits of the lunch was the way I would describe it.
The tie had come off by the time I left the building, and in fact, I couldn't see a jacket either, and he was roaming around on the phone.
Trousers.
Thankfully, they were still intact.
Just double checking. Right, we're just working our way through these pot one teams. I appreciate it's kind of maybe hard to call as this is going. You're probably wanting to get the reaction in once it does, which is fine. It is also making it quite hard to suddenly pivot and talk about other things just right now, but let's try and do it. That's the beauty of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We do sort of spin a lot of plates, so if you'd rather talk Wilfried Nancy, is how he says it's pronounced, or Rangers this weekend, or anything else, get in touch.
I've read the transcript of his Celtic television interview. I've heard what he said today. The man can't really be too expansive on anything, because he hasn't managed Celtic in a game. The story begins at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Martin O'Neill has made the emotional farewell. Martin O'Neill steadied the ship, held the fort, use whatever metaphor you prefer, and he worked wonders over the course of six league games. Wilfried Nancy has got to pick up the baton now.
Yeah, I actually listened to his entire press conference driving in. I still had like George Bowie's set from the Cash for Kids lunch ringing in my ears, but I listened to the thing and I thought he spoke well. But then I thought, has MD ever not spoke? Every manager,
yeah,
everyone always says they speak well in the first press conference.
On the first
always.
Press conference.
No one ever says.
Are you surprised it was there yourself?
Yes, very, because Celtic's last four managerial appointments have had the person who appointed them.
Yeah.
And it's so, and it's something that we tend to, I'm not saying every club does it, so that's fine. And I know Celtic will say it's the day before a game and he's busy. But I think you should get to hear from the people that appointed them.
Absolutely. You know, even when Martin O'Neill came to take interim charge, and he is a club icon, and his iconic status has grown over the course of those games. But Martin and Sean Maloney were just sat behind a desk, and no one welcomed Martin back to the club. I know that Michael Nicholson today did a Celtic TV interview but did not meet with the mainstream press, and I think that's poor.
I think you should always be able to ask, why have you appointed this guy? Yeah. Or what did you like about this guy? It's a great chance
As a Celtic board, you should be answering that question, because yes, you can see his record and what he's done in America, but you want to understand the reasons what's led to you picking him specifically.
And you look, again, I absolutely certain, well, this is a relentless schedule and he had to train, and it's a you want to just get him out there at Lennox Town, and not every club in the world does it. Fine, I hear all that, but Celtic usually do. They've done it with all the last four managerial appointments. Rangers usually do. Most other clubs here do. Again, Celtic, I'm sure, would say it's perfectly innocent, but we're the most cynical part of the world. People will say it's because you didn't want to answer questions about all the other stuff. And that might be completely unfair, but it won't go away.
Well, that kind of cynicism, I think, is accurate. And I think back to all of the updates that were given from the time of Brendan Rodgers' departure until the time of Wilfred Nancy's arrival. The updates were given by Martin O'Neill. You know, Celtic have an aversion to transparency. And I do think it's manners, courtesy, call it what you will. Someone should have been sitting beside Wilfred Nancy, whether it was Michael Nicholson, the chief executive, or Peter Lawwell, the chairman. Even Dermot Desmond, dare I say.
That's not going to happen, is it? That's never really happens. But I take your point. That's maybe a bit of a sideshow anyway.
December appointment.
The main story is he's here and we've heard from him. Let's focus on that for a bit. Charlie's on the line. Charlie, what do you make of it? New manager's in the door.
Hi guys, how you doing? New manager is in the door, and I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously, it's an exciting time. Obviously, wish Martin O'Neill, wish Martin O'Neill all the best. I don't know if Sean Maloney's leaving or not. You know, you never know. But as far as Wilfred Nancy's come in, what I was wanting to say, really, my point was, it's a new beginning, and I'm not wanting to preach, God, no, I'm not wanting to preach, but, to be honest, one of the best lessons in the book is to turn the other cheek. And to my discredit, it's probably one of the hardest to apply. I wonder if the board might seek this opportunity to try and extend an olive branch to the fans, maybe revoke the ban and give Wilfred Nancy the very best opportunity on Sunday to get a result. That's what I would like to see.
My guess is, Hugh, that it would be seen as two entirely different things, and it's actually become quite complex, that, because there's a lot of accusation and counter-accusation, and I find that, you know, the statements that are getting issued talking about really specific incidents, that this person did this, and then members of the Green Brigade say that that's not quite how it played out. That whole thing's a bit of a mess. I think if this, well, you can tell me, if Charlie's saying would the board offer an olive branch, I don't know, I have no idea.
In my opinion, they can't offer an olive branch, because there are matters that are pending. There are accusations of intimidating behaviour against the club officials. Celtic, as a board, cannot tolerate that kind of thing going on, are perfectly entitled to put the ban in place while they get to the bottom of all of this. And I don't think either that you can say, unless you have that area of the ground with those supporters in it, then Wilfred Nancy is at a disadvantage. There are 59,000 other Celtic supporters there on Sunday, and they are there to the clue's in the title. They are there to support the club. That particular group of fans are under investigation, and I think it is correct that the ban stays in place.
Anyway, Charlie, what do you make of the manager coming in? Because, you know, like we said, that one's probably going to rumble on for a bit. They're not suddenly going to be allowed back in at the weekend, I don't think. But what have you made of the new manager? Initial impressions?
Well, if you're to believe what's coming out of the States, it's all good words. And you don't know. It's the same way the new Rangers manager come in. You didn't know what he's going to be like. A couple of weeks down the line, he's fading away. The new manager bounce has faded. Maybe we've got a new manager bounce when Wilfred Nancy comes in.
Well, listen, Celtic are already in a relatively good place at the moment, so the bounce would take them to a really nice position. I think the very start of Charlie's point, he asked about Sean Maloney. He's back to his old role, as
got
far
a
as
job
I can
there,
gather.
Yeah.
Steve McManus back to the B team, Mark Fotheringham away. Gavin Strachan remains, I think, in the backroom staff. Wilfred Nancy's brought Kwame Ampadu, his assistant. He's brought a sort of physical trainer. That's not the right phrase, but you know what I mean. It was described as something like that.
He's a sports scientist.
Yeah. Strength and conditioning. I know, but it was described in a weird way wherever I read it.
He brought a French analyst as well.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see what that handover period is like and what that entails. He did say he spoke to Martin O'Neill.
I take Charlie's point of view that the early favourable reaction to Danny Rule is now under review. And Wilfred Nancy starts with a 9-point lead over Danny Rule. It's another reason for Wilfred Nancy to be optimistic, but he has to maintain that differential.
Right, thank you very much to Charlie Wright. There's a few of these groups that are starting to look quite appealing in terms of we're now getting the pot two teams out. So we spoke about the host nations and how supposedly they would give you the, again, air quotes, the easier groups, because they're in there by virtue of being host nations, not because they're the best teams in the world. USA are in the same group as Australia. I think being the pot three team in that group might be quite appealing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And there's a few that are not. So again, to use the host nations, Mexico are in with Korea, and Canada are in with Switzerland. I know Switzerland, we played them at the previous Euros and drew. I think if you're in any of those groups, it's about as good as you can ask for. From is that fair?
Depending how we play.
No, but that's fine. But tonight, all you can do is go on.
Yeah, I think what's there. Look at what they are in teams who you would fancy yourselves against. Yes, and absolutely gone.
Yeah, so we're just waiting on the pot two teams being completed. The Netherlands are in with Japan. Again, that maybe feels a little bit more difficult than some of those previous ones. There's nothing that looks horrific yet. Brazil's pot two team is Morocco. Oh no, Hugh, that would be that's half of the World Cup 98 group.
Yeah,
not in Scotland to go.
Oh no. So let's see where Iran go, because again, that might be. I do think some of these pot two teams maybe don't strike you as being obviously strong. You know, they may well be, and maybe there's a bit of an ignorance on this side of the world, but. So Belgium and Iran, would you mind going in as the pot three team in that group?
Yeah,
again?
Why not?
There's a couple there. You know what's going to happen, don't you? One of these other ones. But we're just trying to complete. I'll keep you up to speed on that. Let's quickly hear a bit more from Wilfried Nancy, hearing from him for the first time on his arrival at the club.
Really, really proud, really excited. Obviously, Celtic is Celtic. I like to say that. And this is a big club. But also the story behind that. That's why I'm here also, because to accept a project, for me, this is important to understand also why I want to go there and why they want to connect with me. And when I read about the story of Celtic, this is, regarding my background, this is, the fit is good. And I'm happy to discover a new culture. I've been traveling a lot, and it's going to be good for myself, but also for my family. So really happy, really excited, and happy that I started my first session today.
The timing of this is now making me uncomfortable. So in the interest of trying to catch the good bit, the important bit for us of the draw, let's break, pause for breath, and we'll be back next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
perfect timing. World Cup draw, pot three is underway, and that, of course, is the pot that Scotland will come out of. The pots are sitting nicely. Some of them are quite inviting. Mexico and Korea, maybe, Group A. USA and Australia, Group D. Canada and Switzerland, Group B. Would you mind drawing them? That potentially could be... Well, there you go, South Africa have gone straight into Group A, so it can't be that one. We also cannot now get England, because I know there's been always a lot of focus one way or the other on that. They're in a group with Croatia, so I think, my understanding is that would be three UEFA nations, and that would be too many. I think that's the way it works.
You're better avoiding England.
Yeah, I think everything about that would have been, maybe, depends what way you look at these things. So Qatar now coming out of our pot as well. So various teams in there, old foes from 98, Norway are in pot three along with us. Some interesting team, Mo Salah's Egypt as an example, Paraguay, Tunisia, Ivory Coast, Uzbekistan. So these are the types of countries that are coming out at the moment. I actually feel like it's not too different, the strength between pot two and pot three in some areas. But Qatar have gone in with Switzerland and Canada, so we can't get that one, which perhaps would have been quite a nice group to get in and have a chance of getting out of. Paraguay are next out, so we'll see where they end up. And again, the options then become a bit more limited for Scotland as you go on. So Group B is out of the question, which maybe would have been one that people had their eye on. But you're now maybe looking at D and G, Scott. Those are the ones we want to try and get in if you're talking about. Oh, there we go, D's gone. USA, Australia and Paraguay. That would have been a nice group.
I suppose Paraguay couldn't go in with Brazil there, wasn't it? Group C.
No, they still... Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yep. So that would have been a nice one to be a part of. USA, Paraguay, USA and Australia. I think Scotland would have slotted into that one nicely, but Paraguay have taken that spot. So we'll see. We're going to be last out. There's just something about this wait that's making me nervous.
Well, you've waited 28 years, run a few seconds.
I know. There we go. It's not as either. Ivory Coast coming out as well. So where can they not go? They probably can't go into
Senegal.
They couldn't go into Group I, which I really wouldn't fancy being in there either. Nope. They can't go into a couple of the others. They've gone in with Germany and Ecuador. Don't mind that. I wouldn't have fancied Germany and Ecuador, would you?
I'm with you.
It would have been quite tricky.
Difficult games.
So Germany, Ivory Coast and Ecuador so far making up Group E. Right, well, so the only one that's left for us really that you think, Scott, in terms of maybe can do something, Group G, Belgium and Iran so far.
Yeah, if you're looking at games, we'd fancy that we could go in. Tunisia.
Tunisia now coming out as well. As Hugh says, we have waited a long time, but certainly been made to wait even longer here this evening. Keep the calls coming, by the way. The phone lines are open. This is just a one of a kind show. We've never had this type of distraction. It's a welcome distraction, and it's a long process, so we're doing our best to take you through it. And they've gone in with the Netherlands and Japan. So Netherlands, Japan and Tunisia. So again, Scotland now cannot go into that group. And it is filling up. So the options for Scotland are diminishing. Egypt next out as well. The thing is, why is it horrible? They're going to come out at some point. It's not like we're not going to come out the draw here. But I know what you mean. The longer it goes on, like, let's see where they go. Could they take that slot? Now, they can't go in Group G, can they, Scott? I don't think. Egypt can't go in. No, they can. They have as well. Oh, no. That was the one that Scott Allen was wanting. Belgium, Iran and Egypt. So,
we're getting big boys.
Whatever group Scotland ends up in here, it's going to have a real tricky element
Spain,
to it.
Spain, Uruguay will end
please
up
please no.
I'm telling you.
Spain and Uruguay. Please no. Here we go. Is that Aaron Judge that's taking the net? Here we go. Oh. Scotland. Scotland have come out. Here we go. We're about to find out. Scotland's first opponent, Steve Clark, smiling.
Oh,
Mike Mulroney and Ian Maxwell alongside him. And we're finding out where they are going to go. This is incredible. We've waited all this time. Where are Scotland going to go? And it's Brazil and Morocco. It is two of the teams that Scotland faced the last time they were at the World Cup. The glamour of Brazil and the very last team that Scotland ever played at a World Cup in Morocco. Hugh Keevans, what are the chances?
Well, first of all, let me say it's an honour to be at the World Cup finals. It is a particular honour after a 28-year wait. It is an honour always to play Brazil. From my childhood, and heaven knows that was a long time ago, from my childhood the 1958 World Cup, the emergence of Pele, Brazil, where every young boy and the young girl's idea of the greatest football team in the world. So it's an honour and a privilege to play them. And by the time we played Morocco in 1998, the ball was well and truly burst.
I like your style. We're going to analyse whether it could have been better, could have been worse, but my goodness, it doesn't matter, Scott Allen.
No.
How good is this?
Listen,
brilliant. Those iconic yellow shirts.
Yeah.
Up against Scott McTominay and co. in either America, Canada or Mexico next summer. It doesn't get much better than that.
Maybe we could pull off a shot. Brazil? Listen, Brazil, why am I doing this?
I was waiting.
Brazil are not the force they used to
be. I was just waiting on somebody mentioning it, because it's undeniably true. But at the same time, let's not quite go there.
Carlo Ancelotti as well.
Carlo Ancelotti raised an eyebrow, as he does. Oh, I forgot we were on the live stream and I just tried to raise the eyebrow. It looked like I had an allergic reaction.
Look at the rock.
Brazil, Morocco and Scotland. It is not 1998. After all this time, we've gone and get the same opponents.
That's incredible, really, isn't it?
And we can't get Norway, can we?
No, they're in this group.
They're in this pot. So there we go. That would have been absolutely ridiculous to completely complete the same group as 98. So there we go. Brazil, Morocco and Scotland, Hugh. If you're looking for a quintessential World Cup experience, now I know we did it the last time and it was the opening game, but it was Brazil. Brazil. They're synonymous with World Cups.
Yeah, I'll never forget being in Paris, even the night before the game, the opening match of the World Cup, and to be on the Champs-Élysées with George Bowie, as I was, doing the Bowie at Breakfast programme, and to play Brazil, and everything that happened that night, the plan to bring out Scotland in full Highland dress, a remarkable, well-kept secret. I can only repeat, from 1958 onwards, Brazil have been regarded by Scottish people as the world's greatest international side. And it is an honour, a pleasure and a privilege to be there and meet Brazil and Morocco, and we await with great anticipation Pot 4.
Can you get the Morocco squad there?
Well, first of all, do you know what I was going to look? I was going to talk about Morocco. Morocco are 11th in the world.
Yeah.
Right, which absolutely astonishes me. I just hold my hands up and say I could not have told you that. Morocco are the 11th ranked team in the world. They are considerably higher than a lot of the other Pot 2 teams. So,
Is that the fullback from Paris Saint-Germain?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched them in the last World Cup. They were excellent.
Hamza Igeman, anyone? Can he get in that?
Well,
there we go. That would be a wee story attached to that one as well.
Banging the goals in for Lille.
You got some good players.
Yes, I think that would be safe to say. It's going to be a really tough group. Really, really tough. But at the moment, I think you have to embrace it. You have to try and enjoy it. And what we'll do actually, again, trying to get my timing right, before we find out our Pot 4 team, I think we are still playing Beat the Pundit tonight. So, yes, we are. 01419511025. Call us right now. Pretty cool. You can be the person who plays Beat the Pundit on the night we find out Scotland's World Cup opponents. Give us a call. We'll play that and we'll find out the completed World Cup group next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland, Brazil, Morocco and Haiti. That is the draw for the World Cup 2026. So much anticipation. There was a time when we never thought we'd get back to a World Cup. Steve Clarke and his players made it possible, and now we know what next summer will look like. Brazil, the ultimate World Cup opponents. Morocco, also in the same group as France 98, along with the Brazilians, and a completely new name. New to the World Cup, never mind us, Haiti from Pot 4. Hugh Keevans, what do you make of that?
Well, when we had Brazil, Morocco and ourselves, my grandson texted me and said, horrendous. And I texted him back to say, it's supposed to be. It's the World Cup. So that, you know, I will hammer this point. We've waited 28 years. It's a privilege to be there. It's a privilege to play Brazil. It's a pleasure to get revenge on Morocco 28 years after the event. And Haiti, I don't think there was a Haiti when my first World Cup came around. Again, new ground. People will say, oh, well, that's the one where Scotland could get at least a victory or maybe even the only point we get. But my feeling is it's cosmopolitan, it's exciting, it's global, it's elitist, it's wonderful.
Yeah, listen, I think that group's very intriguing for a lot of reasons. I think Brazil, listen, yes, we played them in the previous World Cup. There's a lot of kids who haven't seen Scotland play Brazil. As I said before, it's not the same Brazil as we faced in 98 with the likes of your Ronaldos, your Rivaldos, all these sort of players. Carlo Ancelotti adds something different to it as well. Morocco, listen, they're one of the teams I'm looking at what other groups got for the pot two team. They are a good side. Watched them in the last World Cup. Very organised, and they've got some really good players. But Scotland have produced some very good results in isolation over the years. And listen, Haiti, if you were wanting a team where you think we can go and get the job done and get a win, that would be the one you would ask
where,
for.
Where
and
might they just, be?
Well, I was going to say, who, where is Haiti?
No, where are the games? World
so they, we've got. I'll get to that. What I was going to say, location wise, we've got some rough answers on that as well, because obviously it's split across the three nations. Scotland, I think, will play all three games in the USA. The first one will be in New York or Boston. Can you imagine a Tartan Army takeover of New York or Boston? The second one, Philadelphia or Boston.
Yeah.
And the third one, Miami or Atlanta. I'm pretty sure that's it. Forgive me if I've
send this to Miami.
The fans, the Tartan Army, men, women and children will say anywhere, New York, the Tartan Army on Broadway.
Quite glamorous locations, aren't they?
Yeah, can't wait. I've been in New York for the World Cup when the Republic of Ireland played there. And New York welcomes the Scots and the Irish, as does Boston. They'll have the time of their lives. And if it's Miami, I can only imagine how many flights will leave from Scotland headed for Miami. So the whole thing for me is an absolute joy.
There's so much madness going on. I always bow to the excellent Scotland's coefficient on Twitter, seems to know a lot about these things, and tweeted that at the moment Haiti fans are banned from attending by Donald Trump, so for the opening match there will be no opposition fans.
Oh.
It's a bit of a damn squib.
Do we get the tickets?
That sums up the madness of this world.
Why did Donald ban them?
Did we want to go down that route? Hanging out with Keir Starmer last night and now this, we better not. But anyway, listen,
Keir was very keen to avoid Scotland England.
Was he?
Didn't want
sure
that
he was. But yeah, I mean, Hugh, even those locations, look, it would have been great anywhere, as you say. Those are proper glamorous places. Yeah. And look, I know there'll be a downside. It's going to be expensive when you get there, for sure. The ticket pricing, don't even get me started.
Everything about it will be
but
expensive.
But if you're looking logistically, East Coast, so closer.
I think
still not down the road, but you know, closer than it could have been.
Yeah.
More accessible.
Let's, I think many people, positives. I know the ticket prices are horrendous, but I think many people will go not caring if they get a ticket or not. They just want to be there. I always remember Scotland-Brazil 1998, and people being there who did not have a ticket for the match. They simply wanted to be there when Scotland played Brazil. They wanted to be in Paris.
Imagine as a tourist, and there will be many millions of them from anywhere in the world. You have built up all your days to go to Times Square, and you turn the corner and it's full of Scotland fans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be absolutely incredible if that's the case. Boston's an unbelievable city as well for anyone who's not been. In fact, so Miami, been lucky enough, actually been to all of those, and what a treat awaits.
What was your favourite?
Oh, so different. You couldn't really compare, could you?
No, I've been to New York, haven't been to Boston or Miami.
Miami's up your street. That's a bit of you. I can see you with the shirt, sort of unbuttoned, the shades, the hair, all that. You know, I can see that.
Thanks.
That's a bit of you. But I think Boston would be amazing.
Boston would be incredible.
So would New York. New York's obviously similar because they're not that far apart. And they've
Philadelphia?
They lean in. Oh, I've not been there, to be fair. They lean into their sort of Scottish and Irish roots and all that sort of stuff.
And they also embrace eccentricity in New York. You know, so if you are doing a wee jig in the middle of Times Square, that's fine. Get on with it. So, you know, just be wonderful if the game is there. So, as I say, the football, we can debate that from now until June. But the glamour of it all, it's here.
Yeah, I've already, so many people obviously taking the mick already. Or maybe not, maybe it's just a forecast saying we'll get beat off Haiti, we'll draw with Brazil and, you know, we'll get packed out of Morocco. But
probably.
Hopefully not. Anyway, I got a bit distracted there. Let's play this as we always do at this time.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Aidan is in Airdrie. How are you, Aidan?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, yourself.
Aidan, whether you like it or not, you're about to make history. You're the man that's going to react on the phones to Scotland drawing Brazil, Morocco and Haiti at the World Cup. What do you think?
I know, I'm buzzing with it, to be honest. I was sort of hoping for the year draw, but you can't moan Brazil. It's set up, innit?
It feels somewhere in the middle-ish, no? I mean, it's saying he's hoping...
Morocco as well, Morocco.
Oh,
Morocco.
I know. Well, as an example, I think, like... Well, there are harder groups, right? France, Senegal, Norway, and then a playoff winner. That's harder, right?
I've not actually seen the draw. Who
could they
get? Who's the top four?
Gordon's going to do a classified.
So, no, I'm not going to do them all too long. Brazil, Morocco, Haiti in Scotland, it is, Aidan.
I'll take that.
Like I said, there are some there. Spain, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, Cape Verde. There is a bit of a spread. There is a spread, but I think... Clearly it's going to be difficult. There are far easier groups. I don't know if it's the hard. It's probably not the hardest either, Scott. I don't know. Maybe somewhere in there.
I think we sort of be in the middle, innit? I agree.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is towards the upper end now that I look at it. Because I do think Morocco are particularly strong.
So do we play Haiti in the first game?
I think so.
I think
you take that, your first game.
Before it got to pot three and it was just pot one and pot two, you would want to avoid that group.
I mean, if you want kind of bare minimum stuff, try and beat Haiti, keep the score down against the others, and you're kind of in good shape.
Park the bus.
And you don't know how the result goes between Brazil, Morocco.
Neymar doesn't play with Brazil now, does he? Or he will probably be going.
He played the other night. He played the.
Look at us getting carried away.
He played for Santos the other night and basically kept him up.
That's what it's all about. Aidan, what's got more chance of happening? Scotland getting through that group or you winning Beat the Pundit tonight?
Oh, Scotland winning that group, mate, to be honest. I just fancied phoning because of what night it was. I'm not really great, but
Aidan, these have both been at the Cash for Kids lunch today. Hugh Keevan's had more white wines than I usually allow him on this day. He's sat
just putting the pressure on.
He deliberately sat a bit further away from me than normal. I usually keep him on a tight leash knowing that he's going to be in the show. Alcohol free Moretti for you or something, wasn't it? Or
it was Madrid. Whatever it was. 0-0 Madrid.
He's excited as well.
It makes him a bit more loose.
He's
plays him a bit more freedom.
He's even been he's been really positive tonight as well.
That's nice to hear.
I know. The blue side, blue for Hugh, as always, of the coin. Red for Scott Allen. Let's see what we've got on there. It is Mr. Alcohol Free Beer today. Scott Allen. Coin. Up against Aidan from Airdrie. So let's give Scott something else to listen to. Aidan, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, go for it, mate.
Right, your time starts now. Who knocked Rangers out of the Champions League playoffs this season?
Cobridge.
Name the last team Martin O'Neill managed before coming back to Celtic.
Nottingham Forest.
Which SPFL manager was given a 6-game touchline ban this week?
Pass.
Who was the youngest player in Scotland's 98 World Cup squad?
Oh, I forgot his name. He's on here. I forgot. Pass.
How many Scottish Championship clubs are without a permanent manager?
3.
Which Scottish team have scored the most penalties in the top flight this season?
Hearts.
Jeez, tough question there. Okay, let's bring Scott Allen back. Are you ready?
Yes.
Don't you answer yet. Some tough questions in there. Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who knocked Rangers out this season's Champions League playoffs?
Pass.
Name the last club Martin O'Neill managed before returning to Celtic.
Forest.
Which SPFL manager was given a 6-game touchline ban this week?
Martindale.
Who was the youngest player in Scotland's 98 World Cup squad?
Simon Donnelly.
How many Scottish Championship clubs are without a permanent manager?
2.
Which Scottish team has scored the most penalties in the top flight this season?
Rangers.
Okay. Aidan, what's the verdict? You've heard your competition.
It would be fitting for Rangers to score the most penalties.
Right. Hold on a minute, right.
You couldn't help yourself.
No, forget that. Just, it got serious for a minute. It was also exciting. The World Cup draw, Morocco, Brazil, Haiti. Now the Village people are on the stage. Well, the this funny is the weirdest night ever.
You blocked us out. It was Village people.
You are kidding me.
I swear.
On.
The Village
seriously.
People.
YMCA.
Yeah. So, of all, so when we give, were you listening to Greatest Hits Radio?
Yeah.
It just so happened to be the Village people.
Yeah.
Who are now on stage at the World Cup draw.
Yeah.
Of all the artists you could have had on there.
Yeah.
That's Donald Trump's soundtrack, isn't it?
Whole thing's spooky.
Who's in the background, Aidan?
Oh, it's the son. He's trying to keep him quiet.
No, don't worry about that. We're a family show. What's your son's name?
Jacob. Jacob. Mother's son there. He's out for the count while he's sleeping.
How old's Jacob?
Jacob's three, ain't he, son?
Hi, Jacob.
He's no idea what's going on right
How
now.
How old's your other son?
Five.
Is this a danger nap or is he down for the night? See, I'm speaking as a father here.
It's a danger nap.
7 o'clock, mate, every night in bed.
Oh, good. Well, that's fine then. Oh, he's better than mine. That wouldn't be hard. Why the Village people? This is weird.
It's Trump's favourite song. He's now up dancing.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling. Now I've got producers shouting, it's Trump's favourite artist, as if that makes it any more normal. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. But anyway.
It's America.
We should have known. Will we go through the answers, anyone?
Yeah, that was such a curveball when you threw that first question.
Remember, Aidan, every question you get right is £10 to Cash for Kids as well, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. Who knocked Rangers out the Champions League playoffs? Club Bruges. Aidan got it. Goes 1-0 up. Martin O'Neill's previous club before returning to Celtic was Nottingham Forest. You both got it. 2-1 to Aidan. Disappointed in you to a point, Aidan, because I thought you were good.
A disgrace.
But, Scott, even worse from you. I thought you were across these things. Neil Lennon, 6-game ban.
I read that this morning.
Well,
it's the next question I'm raging about.
Because you know there's a rule that says you're not allowed to imply bias or incompetence to referees. He called the ref incompetent.
Yeah.
So the alarm bells start to go off if you're the compliance officer.
A low tolerance threshold, Lenny.
So, yeah, 6-game ban. 2-1 to Aidan on the line. The youngest player in the 98 World Cup squad, Aidan, he's kicking himself because the only reason we said it, he is on this show. And we've been, and it is Simon Donnelly.
That's a disgrace for me.
Because Aidan knew he had heard it, but he couldn't get the name out. Well, Aidan, just go through them. It was no Gordon DL, is it? For goodness sake. What state do you think he's in at the Cash for Kids lunch right now?
He'll be bad.
Simon Donnelly, so Scott Allen equalises. I'm going to come back to the next question. Which Scottish team have scored the most penalties in the top flight this season? It's the Steelmen. See, not that the refs favour us, but see, when you play all that silky attacking football, people bring you down. They cut you down in your prime. And the referees point to the spot. So it is Motherwell. None of you got it. Which means it all comes down to the other question. How many championship clubs without a permanent manager? Aidan said 3. Scott Allen said 2. It's 2. Devastated, Aidan. And devastated.
I didn't deserve that, Aidan, did I?
Heartbroken.
That's criminal.
Morton and Airdrie, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Aidan, you didn't deserve that. You were decent there.
No, I was alright. I was in top form, to be fair. I was surprised myself.
I have quite hard questions.
I say top form, I miss Simon Donnelly, mate. That's quite poor, so.
I know, I'm giving you some sort of credit. You know, they always say about at least strikers are there to miss the chances. You knew who it was, you couldn't get his name out.
If you'd asked me the Bruges question, 4 in, I'd have got that.
4 in?
Yeah, that's because I'd heard the Village people, then I seen them on the stage.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the worst excuse we've ever had. Anyway, Aidan, thank you very much. Pass my regards on to the boys and enjoy that World Cup when it comes around.
Pleasure, mate.
Good man. I liked Aidan and Airdrie. He was my type of guy. That was good. Did you hear the highlight of Beat the Pundit this week? A guy phoned in from the bath.
It's not the first time there's a guy in the bath.
I think we've had a caller before. I don't think we've ever had a...
Do you want to know a fun... See, the last time the guy phoned in from the bath, I came up, you phoned me for... I think I'd signed for someone.
So someone from the bath... phoned in the other night and took part. I think he lost, but he did all right. And I'm sure he sent me a message earlier, which was quite disturbing. Yes, it was Drew. He got a Lee Griffiths question wrong, and he has sent me a picture of Lee Griffiths and then a picture of him and Gordon DL photoshopped in the bath.
Quite disturbing.
Very, very, very disturbing. From Drew on there. But I'm actually not going to hold it up. Producer Chris is shouting for me to hold up. There's a method to my madness, and we'll talk about it off air. let's not bother. So to recap that draw, if you missed it, Scotland are in with Brazil, Morocco. It's not 1998, but we're back with those two, and Haiti. What an interesting draw that is. Wayne is calling from Motherwell tonight. Wayne, what do you make of that?
Oh, how you doing, guys? Absolutely buzzing. Like, I just loved the draw. It was meant for Scotland to have Brazil. Just how the other teams were coming out, and it was like, yeah, we need to go to put them down to Group D. We need to put them down to Group E. And I just said, oh, it's made for us. And as soon as Scotland came out, I was like, aye, I'll take it, because you want the glamorous ties, you want the big teams. So I'm happy for that. You know, Morocco's played well in the last World Cup. In Qatar, so and then getting a wee Haiti. I'm glad we've not got a European mob in there. I'm glad we've stayed away from another European team, because it can always be quite hard playing them in the group stages when we had the likes of Norway, we've had other European competition before, because we play the same type of football, the Europeans. So I am quite confident that we're looking alright here.
Two ways of looking at that, though. I get Wayne's style, and it's like a completely unknown. That feels like a World Cup. You know, you're not playing teams that you play in the Nations League, Euro qualifiers or Euros. Having said that, you could actually make a case for us against a lot of European teams, because we've played them all recently. You know, now with the Nations League, and we're in a good place as a nation now. You could look at, as you mentioned, at Portugal. We played them in the Nations League, and there was nothing to fear. Croatia, I mean, I don't know if I would back us to beat Spain again, but we did. And so on. Are you of that, Hugh? Would you have rather avoided the Europeans, or would it be nice to have a bit of familiarity?
No, I'd rather avoid familiarity. It's called the World Cup. I'd rather go and see the world.
Yeah, I'm the same. You could have won, though.
Well, again, it's not the be-all and end-all. You know, we're there to enjoy it, and let's go and see the world.
Completely different challenge for Steve Clarke as well when he looks at their side and preparing for it. I think the players as well, when they see that Brazil, your John McGinn, your Andy Robertson's, these sort of boys going to the World Cup in America, the chance of playing them, incredible.
Where's the what are you focused in on, Wayne? Glamour, difficulty, what's the kind of main feeling when you look at the draw?
Just, I know it's going to sound crazy, just everything about it. Like, I'm just ready for it all. Like, 12-year-old when I watched it last time, and I just feel like I've went straight back to that wee boy again, and I just can't wait for the Tartan Army to be there again, and the boys walking out proud as punch when the national anthem goes off in American stadiums. It's going to be amazing. It's just going to be fantastic. So I'm just ready for it all, and I'll be proud of the boys no matter what, as long as they go there the opening game and turn up, because the one we went there was Germany.
Yeah,
they kind of telling us our backside's a wee bit. So I know you were saying familiarity. Well, there you go. We played Germany. We
that's
skills.
True.
So
do you know what?
I'm quite.
Wayne's excited and he's rubbing off on me.
I think we should hire the Proclaimers, take them there, and start the Scotland matches. If you go, will you send back a letter from America?
Well, I think there are three things, right? Sporting challenge, kind of glamour and vibes around the World Cup, and then location, right? Because we spoke about that as well. It's significant. This World Cup can look very different if you go to Mexico, Toronto, different parts of America. It looks like Saturday, June the 13th in Boston or New York, Haiti. Friday the 19th of June, Morocco in Boston or Philadelphia. And Wednesday, June 24th, Brazil in Miami. Imagine Brazil in Miami.
Oh my. Wow.
Or Atlanta. I think that's the case right now. A lot of this stuff is...
Can you imagine Miami, the samba drums, the dancing, and then around the corner come loads of people in Timberland boots and,
you and your mankini, South Beach.
I very much doubt it.
Wow, incredible. Thank you so much to Wayne. Wayne's excitement's rubbed off on me. I'm just going to sit and think about it. Not you and his mankini, my goodness,
No,
for the next few days. But we'll take another call when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Wow, what a night. We've waited so long for this to have Scotland going back to a World Cup, and now we know the opposition. Brazil, Morocco and Haiti for Steve Clarke's side. Absolutely incredible. Seriously, what a night we've got. So let's bring in some more callers, get some immediate reaction as the news starts to filter through. John is in Johnston. John, what's your feeling on it?
Hi guys, thanks for having me on.
How are you?
I'm a bit disappointed.
we waited this long. I've been on the show before and talking about how great it was for Scotland to get through. Waited this long and we get Brazil, Morocco, 11th in the world. I don't know what Brazil are, and Haiti, which means if we want to progress, and that's a dream to get out of a group, Haiti ain't taking points off Brazil or Morocco, which means we need to beat one of them. And that's it. We could have got a host nation and had a much better chance. That's my overriding feeling.
Yeah, listen, I get that. I mean, there's only three groups with host nations in it. And then, remind me, once it started to play out with the pot two teams, did that then limit? Do you know what I mean? Were we still in the possibility of getting all three home nations, or was one of them limited? I can't quite remember, but...
Yeah, because one get moved, didn't it, because they were from the same continent.
I take John's point, but, I mean, Hugh, as you said, at this stage...
I might be overplaying the romantic card here. I do not know how you can use the word disappointed in association with Scotland being the first World Cup finalist for 28 years... and taking on the magic that is Brazil and their samba drums, taking on the team from Morocco who are 11th in the world. It's the World Cup. You get people from other parts of the world who are better than you. In the World Cup, you get the chance to beat them in a one-off game. Yep. I don't know where disappointment comes in, I'm sorry.
There's been shocks in lots of World Cups from teams who maybe don't have the same quality as we have within our team. Looking at that Brazil team, Vinny Jr., who do you think else, Gordon, anybody else that in terms of that level, midfield, we've got the boy from Newcastle, Bruno. Oh,
a good team, for goodness sake. John, is it, again, I take your point, but what about Hugh's response here? You've been away for so long, you've got to try and just enjoy bits of it and all, embrace it.
Well, what I said with my first comment was that I was on the show up when Scotland qualified and talking to you, and obviously I was over the moon. My point is that it's great that we're there. I would have loved to have a better chance, of what I see was a better chance, not having Brazil and Morocco. But we've got them, but it's going to be very, very difficult. I think we could all have had a little more hope of getting out of the group, because is that not the goal that Hugh's been talking about the last 2 Euros, never even played a glove on people. We've got to be better than that. So the goal is to get out. It's great that we're going to be, it's great that it looks like centralised in America for obviously travel purposes, but we could have got an, think of how positive it would be if we'd got an easier group.
I don't know, is it bad enough that we need to be fearful of it just now?
I have to contradict the language. It's the World Cup. What easy group?
John?
I think he's mentioned, and certainly when the draw was coming out, and I watched it. I didn't watch it. I listened to it. I'm out working just now. I'm the limo driver. What had happened was Tunisia came out before us in pot three, and they couldn't go in because Morocco were there. So that happened twice. Two other teams get pulled out before Scotland, and they couldn't go into that pot because of that, so we were unlucky there again.
It's not that the... John's like core point, do we want to make something of this World Cup? Obviously. And it's completely defeatist and negative to just say, oh, you're just happy to make up the numbers. But there also becomes a bit of that. I think if you've not been since 1998, the vast, vast overriding feeling by an absolute mile has to be enjoyment at being there, like I say. That's not about saying roll over, happy to lose all your games, far from it. But I think once you start making multiple World Cups, you know, you can then really start to sort of hone in your aims a bit more. I don't know. Listen, each to their own. I get where John's coming from. It could have been easier on a sporting front, but it also could have been harder if you look at some of the other draws.
Yeah, you look at Spain, Uruguay. Isn't it the same time though? Brazil, Morocco. Listen, they are difficult games. Estevao, Vinny Jr., Rodrigo up front for the Brazilians. Some real flair in there, so it'll be difficult. But listen, we got to remain positive. I think, listen, on a game in isolation, you just never know what can happen. Listen, we've played worse in one games recently. That's one thing to go off. That's
is that
football.
Not supposed to be the very essence of the game?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Every manager and every player I've ever known said it's a game of football, 11 men against another 11 men. They've got two arms and two legs the same as us, and blah, 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 blah. This is the essence of football. Mm-hmm.
Scott's on the other line. Scott, John wasn't too impressed. What about you?
I think it's a fair draw, to be honest. I think we've got a good chance at it. Morocco, Haiti, potentially would take points off Brazil, leaving us to do it, but I could happily see a second place.
Well, that would be the aim. It is all a bit... I mean, we're bad enough at predictions at the best, at like 10 minutes before a game.
Yeah.
Never mind... What, wait, six, 7 months away? Six
Look
months
at the
away.
Predictions on the beat.
The pundit predictor.
The pundit predictor.
So, you know, and it does, and look, we've done this, we even did it building up to the last Euros. Oh, you never know, Germany are not what they used to be, and we were in quite a good, or loosely in a good place at that time. And you know, that didn't work out. I mean, Hugh, to go back to 1998, if you want to,
yeah.
Yes, the overall outcome was very poor, but that was... like one of the Brazil teams.
Yeah.
There was nothing really in
it. I don't know. At the end of the day...
You know, it wasn't loads in the game that night.
Yeah.
That day, sorry.
At the end of the day, poor Tam Boyd, and he knew nothing about it. The ball hit off him, and so Brazil won the match. But, yeah, it was that close. And it can be that close again. You just never know. And I remember when Davy Neary scored, the famous toe poke from Davy Neary against Brazil... And the nation's jaw dropped. And, of course, Brazil come back. We got them annoyed. They came back four times. But, hey, that's why you buy a ticket for the raffle.
Yeah. If you want to base it on world rankings, Brazil are up to fifth in the recent shift, and Colombia are 11th, right? So that, based on that, that is tough. But again, the world rankings are a bit fluid, and you can make... What did you say, sorry?
Did you say Colombia?
Did I say Colombia?
Yeah.
I meant Morocco. Morocco are 11th. Why did I say? Must have been reading it. Morocco 11th, Brazil 5th. But you can go around the houses on that, because Portugal are 6th. And we just played Portugal in the Nations League and so on. Brazil are now below England. Again, Morocco are 11th, which is good. And of course it is. But Croatia are 10th, who we, again, played in the Nations League. So it's a nice little guide, the world rankings. But I'm not sure it's worth getting too hung up on. Incidentally, Haiti are 84th. So, I don't know.
Be interested to see what sort of friendlies he picks to prepare for these sort of games, because we just haven't played.
He's also going to have March, then warm-up games, presumably. So, there'll be a bit of a spread there.
Yeah,
guaranteed to be something from...
South America.
Out with Europe, for sure, at some
point.
A
lot of South American teams do play friendlies in Europe, don't they?
There was a story about playing Argentina if we didn't draw them. Was there not?
Really?
And that would be the perfect opponent to warm you up for Brazil.
At Hamden?
There was a story about playing Argentina. I'm sure there was a couple of weeks ago. See if that comes to fruition. I mean, Scott, we spoke about the kind of three pillars of this discussion. The sporting bit, how easy or difficult it is, which you've covered. There's the glamour, you know, of the kind of playing a big boy or playing an unknown. And then there's the location. So the fact that these are going to be like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Miami, that type of location. You like the sound of all that?
I think it makes it easier for travelling fans to get there, whether FIFA's ticketing prices remain as affordable for Scotland fans, but it makes it easy to get to Philadelphia, these places. You can fly direct to Glasgow and Edinburgh, to these places. I've already looked.
I'll bet you do. The price has gone up yet?
I know. How was it?
I hope Ali McCoy gets a chance to commentate on the Scotland-Brazil game, because he does love Brazilians.
Indeed. Yep. I've heard that indeed. Absolutely. Moving on. I wonder if... I'll put that to our pundits next week, actually. I'm very keen to hear Gordon DL's thoughts on it. Where are we? I mean, a tweet coming in from Maxi makes a good point about the best third place teams going through as well. I mean, there's, so like, that's what I said earlier about if you can beat Haiti, if you can take points off any of the other two, it's really good, Nick.
And you get
even
a goal difference against Haiti as well,
and even keeping it close between the other two. So there are chances, opportunities there, Hugh.
I'm just trying to count how many months of this we have. We could get third place.
It's the eight best third place teams.
That's the joy.
It's the eight, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a real chance. You know, so long as we don't have a Scotland moment against Haiti.
Because because 32 make it out the group stage. Yeah, so you've got the eight. Yeah, I think that's right.
All to play for.
So, I mean, you are looking at potentially 3 points. 3 points with a solid enough record against the other two. And if you can turn that into 4 points, then you're
laughing.
I'm not going to go and say Scotland guaranteed progression from that stage of the World Cup, but
I think we're capable of getting a point off
either of those. Yeah. And like I said, might not even take that, but there we go. When you look at it that way, I think that's maybe not as doom and gloom as the previous caller had mentioned. Yeah, I mean, Scott, you sound a bit more optimistic. You sound like you think Scotland could do something there.
Yeah, I think if I was to predict potentially the first three games, Morocco, Haiti, Brazil, take 3 points off Morocco, 3 points off Haiti, and I'd be happy with a point off Brazil.
Brilliant. Love Scott's optimism. What about Ian, who is over in Poland, actually? How are you, Ian?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, how are you guys getting on?
All good. News of the draws reached you, I'm sure. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I was really excited, to be honest. I've been waiting for about a good hour and a half. And as they were going through, you know, the first two pots, I was kind of ticking off the groups that I didn't want to get. And funny enough, Group C was one of the ones that I was thinking, well, should we avoid that one? And then when we were drawn in Group C, it was like, it didn't click immediately that we, you know, something was familiar. And then I realised, hang on, this something similar about the story. And I thought, well, goodness, that's really a hard draw. But at the same time, I think it's got a lot of glamour to it. You know, Brazil are a fantastic team, but I think that I really actually fancy us to get out of this group. My biggest point, you know, reason I'm phoning is I think that the biggest game is not going to be against Brazil. For us, it's going to be against Morocco, because I think it's a chance for us to make amends for what happened back in 1998. So
that's a good point, Hugh. Okay. You were there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is no one who played in that game is anything to do with football now, so it's entirely
nice to,
different
players. It's nice to hang on to a grudge for
two or three years, decades. Yeah. But anything can happen. We'll see. There are possibilities there. We are not without hope entirely. And, you know, undoubtedly someone will come on at some point between now and June and say that we'll wipe the floor with Brazil. And that's part of the thrill of it all, that we can talk in this way for the next 8 months. And it's a joy.
The big question for me, Ian, is it cheaper to fly from Poland to New York than it is from Scotland? Oh, have you checked yet?
I don't know. I wish I was able to consider myself going over there, but I'm sure the ticket prices are absolutely ridiculous.
Right, we'll come over to you. We'll come over to yours first and then fly over. Does that work for you?
Yes, that sounds perfect.
Good. I like the sound of that. Yeah. I like the sound of it. Thank you very much to Ian. The excitement reached Poland. I'm sure there's excitement everywhere. Do you think they're dancing along the Copacabana tonight going, yes,
we've got Scotland,
come on. Can't wait to see Lawrence Shankland and Anthony Ralston.
I think the biggest migration of people from Scotland, or people who are Scottish but live elsewhere, there'll be the greatest migration of people in support of Scotland at an international tournament than has ever been seen before.
That'll be hard though, because Germany was massive, and I think you've got the cost of this is going to be better. I'm not going to put a damper on everything.
But people are throwing everything at this.
I know, but like, there's a limit. People have got, you know, yeah. It's just unfortunately the way it is. Especially the ticket prices.
I don't think I am excluding ticket prices.
Right,
I think people will go just to be there.
I know, but pricey old game this now. Thank you very much to Ian on the line. What a night this could be. Because how many of you out there on that topic pricing this up and thinking, this might be a bit of a stretch? How about we add £1,600 to your travel pot? Let's play this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Yes, the Pundit Predictor, thanks to McNair's, is back. We're going to pick three games. You need to tell us the outcome, and there are £1,600 up for grabs. St Mirren Dundee United, Ayr Partick Thistle, Kilmarnock Rangers. That's your lot
01419511025. We'll pick someone at random, over 18s only. You have until the end of this break to get your calls in.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night. Scotland will face Brazil, Morocco and Haiti at the World Cup next summer. Some brilliant venues as well. New York or Boston or Philadelphia or Atlanta, Miami. These are the types of nations. Absolutely incredible. If you're phoning for the Pundit Predictor, you can now stop. The lines are closed. So popular as always. Thank you for everyone who tried to get in touch, but the lines are now closed. Let's play. There's my dramatic music. There we
go. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
Stakes are high. Stakes are really high. Richard is in Dunoon. How are you, Richard? Hi, Richard. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, Gordon, yeah.
I suppose technically, Richard, you're a bit closer to New York than we are.
Does that
give you an advantage in any way?
Eh, I don't know about that.
I don't know. Listen, how does £1,600 sound?
That's not too bad. I'm sure the wife will spend it.
Listen, tell her you're off to the World Cup if you win it. That'll be half a ticket to one of the games by the looks of things. Anyway, yeah. Right, Richard, how are you generally at predicting football matches?
I'm actually not too bad. They call me Ricky Raylock, but I'm not too bad at the predictions.
Okay, let's ask no more questions. Well, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies, Richard, we do have the £1,600 up for grabs, and all you need to do is predict the outcome of the following three games. So you tell me, home win, draw or away win on St Mirren Dundee United?
Home win.
Home win for St Mirren, back to winning ways, they need it. Ayr United against Partick Thistle?
I'll go for the Thistle, away win.
Yeah, I was with the double back-to-back Championship Manager of the Month, Mark Wilson, at the Cash for Kids lunch today. He was swaggering around. He's got a spring in his step these days. And finally, Richard, Kilmarnock against Rangers.
As a Celtic fan, I'm going to go for Rangers.
Okay, I can see, because then he's happy if they lose anyway. Win, there we go. So, St Mirren, Partick Thistle and Rangers. And if they all win, £1,600 to Richard in Dunoon. Happy with that, Richard?
I'm happy with that.
Good man. You take care. All the best.
Right, thanks Gordon. And all the best to Scotland.
Absolutely. All the best to Scotland, says Richard. Now with that in mind, this is the perfect opportunity, because I'm going to bring in a special guest who was with Hugh Evans in France in 1998, who's hopefully going to dish some dirt on what Hugh Evans got up to. He's the based on the Cash for Kids lunch we were at, this might be the most popular guy in the world. Never mind in Glasgow in the West, it's the one and only Mr. George Bowie.
That was a crazy day. What a crazy day.
Honestly, right, I can't believe the World Cup draw isn't the most mental thing that's happened today. What did somebody pay for you to give them a private DJ?
It was over 50 grand.
Because you did two.
I did two, yeah.
I mean, so, George, I love you, right? But seriously, right?
Like, see, when the bidding was going, my wife was sitting there, I was like, Ellen, put the prices up!
So you
tell
did
the clubs.
28 grand twice.
Yes.
To go and DJ for someone.
Yeah.
And
for two
amazing
different people.
I'll pay 28 not to come to
I know, you've heard the show.
And that could be anywhere.
It could be anywhere. Yeah. That is. So who knows? Could be the World Cup.
On a serious note, a credit to you for what you've built up.
Just shows you the generosity of some
and
people.
And it does show the generosity
take a half
as well.
Like me into their home to play some of my boom boom music, as Hugh calls it.
Hugh, you've got a few quid. You wouldn't spend 28 grand on him, would you?
I told you I'd pay him not to come near
me. It's for
me.
The kids, though. It's for the kids.
It's boom boom music.
And it's worth remembering
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what.
And seriously, over 370 grand. I mean, George is clearly part, the biggest part of that, but 371,000 for Cash for Kids today.
Astonishing, yeah. I told you, Cash for Kids is this radio station's finest hour.
And how does this make you feel, the draw tonight, George? Because you were with Hugh in France in 1998.
We were just talking about that. I was talking about that to Ross, my son, who obviously works on the show, earlier today. He was like two in the last World Cup. I brought him all this Disney stuff back because that was a big thing in France at the time. And you and me went over. Remember we did the breakfast show live from some cafe, didn't we?
Yeah,
Michel Blaise.
Kind of Parisian bistro. But it was first thing in the morning and I was shattered from the night before.
We'd all been out all night the night before. We'd had about 3 hours sleep and we were falling apart. I can't remember that show at all. But what I do remember is that it's okay for you, Mr. Keevans. You got to stay for the whole tournament and what have you.
Did you get shipped off up the road?
I got shipped off up the road before the game kicked off. Right, because the boss at the time said, you can go over to the World Cup, right? Do the show live, breakfast show live, but I need you on air the next morning. And the only flight that was on was like during the match. So Scotland Brazil, opening game of the World Cup, and I'm the only guy in the airport with a Scotland top on, and people think I've been deported. So they're all like backing off like that.
So you did the breakfast show in the morning of the game.
Yep,
but flew home during it. That
and had to do the breakfast show from Glasgow the next morning.
Had to find out the score when you landed.
Yes,
that's horrific. I tell you what, of those locations, surely GBX does Miami.
This is what we're talking about.
Seriously,
there's got to be a fan zone, isn't there? There's got to be a fan zone with the GBX tunes. That's like class. South Beach.
You're all across Scotland.
Giving me goosebumps.
That's going to be great.
You do Ibiza, Tenerife, stuff like that.
All over.
Miami, that's got you written all over it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, and now with all our pundits, right, who's better suited to South Beach? Think carefully about this. Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans? Don't take too
much. Hugh with the speedos on would be great, wouldn't he? The wee hanky.
Honestly, we could get him. You wouldn't mind the sound of New York either.
I mean, Scott looks like he's dressed for South Beach today, you know, that kind of Miami Vice jacket on. It's quite cool.
The breakfast show from the bosses will be a few drinks deep at the Cash for Kids lunch, and someone will be phoning them saying, you know that they're talking about Super Scoreboard and Bowie at breakfast trying to get to America. Find the guy that writes the checks while he's had a few.
Now's a great time to ask.
Get a commitment tonight.
If ever there was a better time, Gordon, this is it.
You know my number, seriously. Phone me because let's try and take advantage.
Can you imagine Steve Clark on the South Beach?
Not really.
Nah, I'm not.
He'll be with me booing you.